for our wedding anniversary this year, because I am the romantic, kind, generous person that I am, I took Rebecca out for dinner. It wasn't intended to be me. I went thinking she was paying, she went, I was paying. We nearly left without doing either, so that would have been an excellent evening. But we went to the Ivy in Manchester. That's the kind of people that we are, we're sort of that posh and stuff. And you go in and all these people are going around and sort of, you look around and think, I'm not posh enough to be here. You look around and sort of, there's all these people and sort of, they look and sort of, they've got children called Horatio and things, and you're just thinking like, no. We don't have anyone with, no. And anyway, so we went and we had a really nice main meal and had a really nice piece of steak. And apparently the difference between a posh restaurant and a normal one, and this is where I made the mistake, I called it a hash brown. Apparently it's a grilled potato rosti. Apparently that's the difference. One's in Sainsbury's Cafe and the other's at the Ivy. So anyway, we went and for pudding, I had Sticky Toffee Delight. And basically, it's a sticky toffee pudding, but again, they have to replace the last word with something to make it sound a bit posher. And they bought it, and it was on this really big dish, one of those ones that's got a plate about this big, but the actual middle of the plate, the only bit that's not edge, is that bit in the middle. And I made a bit of a joke about it to Rebecca, not to the waitress, because I don't think you make jokes about things like that. And I just said, how big is that? And so I remembered that at this point, and at this point Rebecca's going, you're not going to do what I think you're going to do. And my phone has now got an app that's got a measuring tape on it. 4.5 centimetres was my sticky toffee delight. If that's less than 2 inches for those of imperial age. That makes sense, like from Star Wars. But so I've got this really sort of, I was going to say, I've seen chocolate buttons bigger. And it was very nice. But you should not be able to get your entire dessert on the spoon at once. I think Rebecca may have made some comment about next time she's going there and I'm getting left in Wetherspoons. But it really, really sort of, it was the bit, she says, that's the bit I'll remember. I don't think she meant that as a compliment, but I'm taking it as one. And you go through, and I really do like a nice dessert. For me, a good dessert at the end is excellent. And we have a good agreement in our house. I cook main meals and Rebecca does all the baking and stuff. But do you know what? When I just want sort of a really sort of comfort pudding, I've got a bit of a weakness that I probably shouldn't admit to. Because you can go and you can have these sort of Ivy sticky toffee delights and sort of things. But there's nothing for me like going home and I don't know how they say these serve four and doing a packet of Angel Delight. Now for me, that is really, now if you look on the packet, and Mum's embarrassed now in case I admit that sort of dessert at our house was sort of Viennetta or Angel Delight. Not now. This was obviously when I was growing up and that's. But you take this packet of Angel Delight and they've got on the front the word serves four. And you're like, for what? Because it's not, but it is that thing that I go to, and especially, only the butterscotch, nothing else counts. But it's that thing that I go to and I think, this is really good. I go and I always put it into two bowls. That way I don't feel greedy. When I eat both bowls, it looks like they've not been in the same place. But for me, it is that real taste of comfort. Especially seeing as Rebecca won't let me have rice pudding in the house because she says it looks like cat sick. So I have this, and it is. And like you put that word, don't they, on Angel Delight. If they didn't know what it was, it sounds so posh. And yet it is basically powder, flavoured powder and milk put together. But they call it delight as if it's the best thing you'll ever have. And in the scriptures we have today, we are talking about that which brings delight. And the difference between angel delight, which is a 40p packet which keeps you happy for a bit, and the delight that God gives is so massively different. And in the psalm that we read, the reason I've told this story, in the psalm, Psalm 36, we get that beautiful bit where it says, "The people will feast in the abundance of God's house, for he will give them drink from the river of delight." We've all had those moments where, you know, when you are so thirsty, when you've been out in the hot weather, when you've been working and doing something, you've worked up that sweat, and that moment when the glass of water just hits your lips and you feel the delight of refreshment. And what I want to ask you today is a very simple question. The question is, where is your delight? Where is that which brings your heart joy? In a psalm just three earlier, in Psalm 34, we get the amazing words where God says, David writes, "Delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." And I don't want to go on today, but I just want to challenge you to ask yourself, where is that that gives you joy? Where is that that gives you that sense of something that nothing else can match? And it doesn't always follow that which is sensible. I've got a friend, and she is quite a senior manager in a company that builds trains. And she sent me a picture of a menu. She went to, what's his name? The chef, the guy that makes all the ridiculous things. Pardon? Heston Bloom. Went to Heston Blumenthal's restaurant in London. And her boss had given her a voucher for a meal. And as a sign of the kind of sort of circle she moves in, it was a £250 voucher for a meal. And I'm like, I go to restaurants where you could buy the restaurant for that. Anyway, so she went, and it was about 9:30. I get this WhatsApp picture message, and it's a picture of the tea menu. And there's all these different types of tea, and they range in price up to £17.50 a cup. And Kendra's message at the bottom says, "Which is closest to PG?" And I don't know whether I was offended that she thought I'd know that, or complimented. But she said, "I don't like the posh, fancy stuff. I don't like the stuff that comes with sort of a little leaf growing out of the side of it." She says, "I know I like what I like." And that to me was the challenge that I was thinking about. Where is my delight? Where is what I think is absolutely what drives me? I've got friends who sort of look and say, "I'm aspiring to this. I want a bigger house. I want a better car. I want more money and I want a pay rise." What is it that drives you to keep going, that when you get up in the morning, you think, "This is why I exist"? In the reading that David read to us from Ephesians, we get that some are called to be apostles and pastors and evangelists. Some are called to be pastors and teachers. What is it that drives you and gives you your identity for who you are? Is it a desire of what you can achieve for yourself? Or is it a sense of working out how you can achieve being the person who God created you to be? You get those people, don't you, who are effectively the human equivalent of that little toffee pudding in the middle, awfully nicely presented. Everything looks great, but not much substance. And at the end of the day, I'd much rather be an Angel Delight. There's a line I never thought I'd say in the world. That place where actually we are full of richness. That thing that we, those people that we know, others know we'll come to when things are tough. I've had a couple of really tough days this week. It has been one of, for me, I'll be honest, it's been one of the hardest weeks I've had since I've been back at work. And there's been days when you come home and you want that, you know those days when you want to come in, close the curtains, you want to turn the fire right up, have something that really my diabetic consultant doesn't say is a good thing, and just comfort, sort of, be that place where you comfort eat, you get a big blanket, and you just sort of think, I just need to get through today. And yet, one of my friends who I work with rang me up and said, I know it's been really tough for you, because we get this chart every day telling us all the incidents that need following up. And it came to Thursday, and by Thursday morning, I had my sixth person struck by a train this year in the space of 2 weeks. So it's been a really tough week. And basically said, remember, you're not doing it because you can, you're doing it because God's called you to. And that's what we all have. Whatever it is that are our challenges, whatever it is that we face, we do it because God has called us to. And because, not because what we do is our delight, but because our God is our delight. Whatever it is that you're facing in the year to come, whatever it is you're facing in the week to come, remember the words of that absolutely fabulous psalm. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both the high and the low among men, whether it's the people that eat the posh desserts or me, the high and the low find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast in the abundance of your house, and you drink, and they drink from the river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. I want to finish with a story. If you've ever been to the Trafford Centre in Manchester, it's all done in very sort of traditional, it was designed to look very sort of ancient Greek, and there's big fountains everywhere. And I was walking through there, I think it was a couple of weeks before Christmas, and there was a dad who'd clearly been given the job of looking after the children whilst mum did the Christmas shopping. It's an image that's repeated all over. And in one hand, he had his little daughter, who was probably sort of 5 or 6, and he's holding on. And his son, who was probably about 3, was under his arm like this, wrapped around the waist and soaking wet. And as I walked past, my thinking was, it's a bit weird. And you then heard him say, in a most angry tone, how many times has your mother told you about walking around the edge of that fountain? But he was absolutely covered. He wasn't happy just because every so often, basically, it's this massive fountain. And in the middle, every 10, 15 seconds, it just sends this giant bolt up into the air. And then the drops come down. And it's not unusual to see the kids with their hands trying to catch the drops that they're falling. And I was thinking about this, and several thoughts went through my head. My first thought was, I'm glad I'm not him, as in the husband, because I think the husband was probably going to be in more trouble than the boy. But then you're looking at it, and this kid is absolutely, he's smiling. Do you know what? He may be about to get the telling off of his life, but he's had a great day. And I'm like, too often, I think, in our lives, we're dabbling, trying to catch the little bits that fall back down. And sometimes we just need to throw ourselves in. since I've started being part of the Church of England, you get excited when Rebecca says at the start of every service, "We're going to baptism this morning." And I'm like, "Yeah, but it's not a proper baptism unless you're really getting to splash people and get them completely wet." Christianity is about completely immersing ourselves in the life of God. And I want to urge you today, allow the delight of God to absolutely immerse and consume your life. We look for pleasure, we look for satisfaction, and we look for contentment in all manner of places. But today, ask where the delight in your life is. And if the answer to that isn't Jesus, then maybe we need to realign our compass. Let's pray.